Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jerod Mayo this morning, asked about Kraft getting shafted from the Hall of Fame once again. Says, doesn't know anybody who's more deserving of it than his Thunder buddy, Robert Kraft. He didn't call him Thunder. He called him Robert Kraft.
Yeah, good call.
That was pointed out in the midday show. I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
He hasn't called him Thunder since the original, except when somebody asked him a question about Thunder or something.
Right.
I think on our, maybe on the morning show.
Was that what it was?
They asked a question with Thunder in the reference. Other than that, I think he was told, how about we don't use that anymore? You used it enough for a career in that one press conference.
I mean, he said it over and over and over in that press conference. It was, like, uncomfortable how many times he said it. How do you think it is in that building today? Eggshells? It's got to be, right?
On the executive level in the Kraft wing, absolutely.
I mean, maybe not everywhere, but, like, anywhere that you might see him.
Yes. Like, if you run into him or, like, you see him at the other end of the cafeteria, I would do the spin and go the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that I needed something over there.
Yeah.
I feel for him because he deserves it. Like, I do feel for it, and I know how much he cares about perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I really found it interesting what Giardi said, that he doesn't think he's going to get in until he's dead.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I know.
And I don't really get it. I don't really think it's fair. We had some texter that said if he wins one more Super Bowl, he'll be in. And, like, what? I think the Super Bowls are the least.
He's won plenty of Super Bowls. Right. That's not the problem. Like, I don't think that's anything that is keeping him out. I don't think it has anything to do with it. But
somebody brought up anti-Semitism, and I don't think that's it.
I certainly don't think that's it either. I don't think that has anything
Andre
to do
Tippett's
with it.
In the Hall of Fame, and he's Jewish. He literally a Patriots linebacker's in the Hall of Fame.
Andre Tippett is Jewish?
Yeah. Why do you say it like
that? I didn't know he was Jewish. I just didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
No. I was always disappointed that, because I like Tip a lot. Good dude. And I feel like he should have made the Hanukkah song. Hall of Famer,
right.
Andre Tippett instead of Rod Carew. Screw Rod Carew.
Well, Rod Carew's.
Well, wait a minute.
A little bit more decorated career than Andre Tippett. He's from New Hampshire, right?
Yes, you're a New England guy.
Mm-hmm.
Your Hall of Fame pass-rushing linebacker's Jewish. He couldn't make the cut for the Hanukkah song?
I guess not. But that's, you know, maybe they can do another one. I think Sandler did do another
I think he did
Hanukkah
a second.
Song, right?
Now it might be time for a third.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Tippett was in the second one either.
Nope, he wasn't.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate all
Just
around.
Just like his boss is not in the Hall of Fame.
Did you have the Sandler... like albums back in the day, back in the 90s?
Loved them.
Like the beating of the school
teachers. Not sure they aged as well as I thought. I tried playing Fatty McGee for my kids the other day.
When he sets off the fire
alarm.
And
they were like, huh.
Yeah.
And then it kept playing. They're like, you're still playing this? And I was like, screw you.
Did he have the toll booth guy? Was that
Toll Booth Willie?
Yeah, Toll Booth.
I played him too. Kids didn't love it.
Didn't like Toll Booth
Willie. Kids today are not, they're not appreciative of
it. It was kind of a moment in time where if like you weren't there at the time, you might not consider it as funny. Like that whole era of those SNL guys, I mean, they were all very young. They were very controversial. Everybody thought that they were going to ruin SNL, and they ended up carrying it for a decade, basically. Like him and Spade and Farley and all those guys. Like that was a big moment. And it was really just, you know, kind of goofy voices and stuff like that.
The lunch lady?
The lunch lady.
Ayudame.
I was listening
to
the beating of the science teacher, all of it.
Tremendous.
I was listening to one of the SiriusXM stations that does like comedy bits.
Yeah.
And they played the one where he's the man on the street. And he's asking if, like, he's playing the tape. And he's like, are these people having sex or working out in a gym at the end with the girl? Like,
yeah.
Not okay anymore. Like, you know, like it was very, I'm listening to it going, oh my God.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
you know, each, you know, piece is, fits in its own time.
Yeah.
But no, toll booth, I still use toll booth Willie. Toll booth Willie phrases. In
why
my,
you hotter?
I say other things.
Yeah.
Blank, blanking, I don't even know if I can't say any of those.
Yeah, don't even bother. But, yeah.
You know it's good when you can't somehow word any of it. Like,
the so there was, they're all going to laugh at you. What the hell happened to me? And those were the two that really, like, had a stranglehold on my middle school is
absolutely.
What I remember. Those two. People would just, every single month, we were constantly quoting it. We all had Walkmans, and we'd listen to it on our walk.
Yep.
We'd get in trouble if anybody heard us, you know, if we played it on, like, a speaker and heard any of that. So we'd all have to listen on our headphones. It was, I mean, it was everywhere.
It was.
That was the number one thing that any, like, kid of that age, any boy of that age talked about.
It was just boys?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. You think girls that age were into the Adam Sandler albums?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
The more I think of the bits, I'm
it was
sure.
very boy humor, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it was boy-related humor.
I will say he did a Netflix special like within the past year,
mm-hmm.
and I checked it out one night, and it was pretty good. And
yeah.
I think for guys like us who kind of grew up in that time period, I recommend it. Yeah,
well,
it's pretty good. It's stand-up. It's Sandler doing stand-up and bits and songs.
I don't know if I'm a Sandler like honk. I kind of like most things he's done.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like, what, you know.
He's a legend.
Jack and Jill.
People hate on. Yeah.
I haven't seen
there's
that.
There's a lot of bombs, but.
But like.
I never saw it either. I heard it was terrible.
Like.
I like Little Nicky, though.
Little Nicky was
funny.
What was the one? Like Spanglish or something?
Never
like,
saw that. I heard it was.
It was fine.
I heard it was good.
How about Uncut Gems a few years ago?
Tremendous.
Uncut Gems
killed
was awesome.
It. Yeah.
Loved
killed
Uncut
it.
Gems. Yeah.
And even some of the stupid stuff.
He played that guy so well.
He's done
so
for
well.
Netflix. What was the Halloween movie he made?
Hubie Halloweeny.
I kind of
like
liked
that.
It. Yeah. I kind of liked it.
I don't know that one.
It like
he's made a ton of like random movies, right? Over the last like 15
well,
years.
Because he
puts
like,
all his friends in and stuff.
But
like,
I think
right?
most of them are a Netflix deal where he signed like $500 million for 20 movies. So
yeah.
he owes them 20 movies. He needs to
yeah,
pop
right.
out movies. So
and just crank them out.
Yeah.
Like stuck in a bad record deal or something like that. You know, you just got to make all the albums and get
but
it over
But I actually
with.
Think more often than not, most of his stuff has been watchable.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Rick is in Portsmouth. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Arcan, Andy, good to talk with you guys.
You too, Rick. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's really good to be, you know, Friday. And I just got to say, like, you know, I do not think Kraft should be in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
There's a lot of stuff with that guy.
Are you the last you voter? Know, are you the guy holding out on the committee, Rick? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No, I got nothing. I got no votes. But
so
I,
why
I
not?
I just got to tell you, you know, Deflategate, Spygate, there was getting rid of the best coach in the NFL history. There's getting rid of the best quarterback in NFL history. He was, you know, prostitution in Florida. There's a long, long list of things that, you know, that are keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. And I honestly, I don't blame a lot of vote givers.
Well, you know, a lot of those things that you mentioned can be applied to a lot of people who are in the Hall of Fame, including other owners. Because Pat Bowlen was the owner of the Broncos when they won those two Super Bowls by completely screwing around with the salary cap so that they could sign Elway and Terrell Davis. Remember this?
Yep.
It was like this whole thing they did. They like laundered money through the stadium and ended up getting away with it. But they won the Super Bowls and ended up getting punished later on down the line. If you want to talk about Florida, you know, Jerry Jones is in, okay? And Jerry Jones has had enough scandals to write a whole screenplay about. So
and
like,
Jerry Jones ran Jimmy Johnson out of Dallas in the
good
the
point.
Height of the dynasty.
Right.
At least Robert waited till the dynasty had petered out
till
and
they
were
stunk,
stinking.
Yeah, and maybe you want to hold Brady against them, fine. I do think Bill had maybe more to say about that than Robert did. But either way, fine. You want to hold that against them, sure. That's not disqualifying from the
Plus,
Hall of Fame.
If you're going to hold Deflategate and Spygate against Robert, then that means you're going to hold it against Bill and Tom, right? They're not getting in first ballot, I hope. They would never get in first ballot, would they? Of course they would.
I would
they're both going in
yes.
the second their name appears in any written materials toward the voters. So I disagree with that. Does he have imperfections on his resume? Absolutely. Just like they all do. There's criminals that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, it's as simple as that. In terms of owning an NFL team, winning, succeeding, helping his team, helping his business, and helping the league, he's a Hall of Famer. But for whatever reason, I do also wonder, is it possible that each of his questionable areas resonate differently with, like, one person? So one person
that
hates
could be.
The on-field
yeah, sure.
scandal,
mm-hmm.
so that's a no for me. One person hates the Florida thing, so that's a no for me. One person hates that he ran a coach out of town, that's a no for me. And all of a sudden you built up a collection of no's, even though they're all using different threads of criteria.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that's very convenient, I think, if that's it. I think it's a lot simpler. I think there's one or two people on there who just said, this guy's never getting in as long as I'm on this committee, and that's that. And I'm going to vote against him every single time, and we're going to, if we have to bring in Ralph Hay or Art Modell or whoever the hell else is in here as a collaborator, contributor, whatever that designation is, we'll vote for that guy. We'll vote for ABK, anybody but Kraft.
So Art Modell is an interesting one for me. Like, does Kraft get credit for keeping the Patriots in New England? And
he
not
should.
Only keeping them there, but building them into a, what are they, top 5 in the world or 10 in the world on all those like Forbes lists?
And the best winning percentage of any North American sports team.
But that's great.
Yeah.
I love that. But the way I look at it, very simply, he bought something in Foxborough, Massachusetts, that was a crappy old horse track, a crappier stadium, and turned it into something that's in the same world as like the Yankees and the Lakers and Manchester United, right? Global empires.
Yeah.
How much money do you think the Patriots has made the NFL? You guys would know better than me. I'm genuinely asking.
I mean,
a lot, right?
Yeah. How the hell would I know?
But a lot, right?
Tens of billions of dollars.
Exactly.
Right?
I would say
hundreds of billions of dollars.
It's like a 30-year run here, and they're now up in like the 20-something billion a year as a league. He's part of that. They were on the forefront of going to Europe. They have a massive European fan base, which I think has helped ignite international games for the totality.
I honestly think there's some real shady House of Cards stuff going on in the background over there.
What's that mean?
And it's anonymous. Put a bullet. Put a name on your bullet.
Put
at least.
A bullet.
Put a name.
Easy there. Settle down, Stiz. Who are we shooting?
Put
easy
a name
there.
On.
Easy there, Steve Fleming.
This is weird.
The Rifleman.
Don't you find this fascinating though? Like, I knew he was passionate about Bill. I didn't know you could be passionate now in this day and age about Bill and Robert equally.
Yes, these are our teams. These are our teams.
I think he represents a bigger portion of the fan base than you would think.
Really?
I know you think everybody's down on Kraft. A lot of people are just casual fans. Not that he's a casual fan, but there's a lot of just casual fans out there who the Patriots are their tribe, and anything that happens to any of them, they take offense to. I think that's a much bigger slice of the fan base than you're giving it credit for. I think we're too close to it. I think that's generally how people look at it.
Yeah, I had thought you kind of had been, you know, at one point you were Bill or Brady. I thought you had kind of come down now on Kraft or Bill, and I thought most of them went Bill's way. I thought in that debate, Kraft or Belichick, it's like maybe 10% Kraft, 90% Belichick or something at this point.
Yeah, and maybe if in that particular debate, it'd still go that way. But in general, something like that, a slight on the team, a slight on the owner, even if you're not thrilled with him and the way that things went with Belichick, that still represents a slight towards the Patriots. And that's your team, and that's your tribe, and there's still a lot of fans out there like
that. And remember, Bill did say that Robert is a strong candidate.
Yes, he did. Rodney Harrison, you don't know football if you don't put him in, but Robert Kraft, strong candidate. Jamal is stuck in traffic. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I was just calling because no one's talking about the point that everyone that votes, everyone anywhere, is just upset about the fact that Robert Kraft won the lottery. He lucked out and got his franchise and then lucked out and got the best coach and the best quarterback ever and rode that wave. Everyone's wishing they could have did that. That's the only reason they don't want to put him in. I think he should be in, though.
I think he should be, too, Jamal. So what
and
you're saying.
They hate us because they jealous us.
Thank you, Wiggy. I agree. I think that's what Jamal's trying to get at, and I think there's probably a lot of that. I think there is. And it's not just jealousy. I think that's what drives it. But it's jealousy, resentment that he won so much, that he beat our team, that he beat my, you know, my guy, and this guy didn't win because the Patriots were winning, and maybe they cheated to win. Like, you know, all that stuff. Like, I think that all sort of built the resentment to the point where it is now. I just feel like Kraft is such a schmoozer. You know, such an elbow rubber. Like, he to me, typifies the type of owner that is very accommodating and wants everyone to like him and wants to. And you saw this in the big offensive that they had there to try and get him in the Hall of Fame. You know, like, that was all sort of owner schmoozy stuff. And that it's not working to the point where they're trying to deliberately keep him out.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't, because you're right. He is. Shouldn't the schmoozing help him?
Absolutely.
So how did the schmoozing go sideways?
I just did too much of it, I guess.
That's too thirsty. I still don't understand it. Because before it was thirsty, it seemed genuine, didn't it? Like, he schmoozes people.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. And he schmoozed him for years before I think it was a targeted schmoozing to get him in the Hall of Fame.
Targeted schmoozing.
Right?
Should be the name of a podcast.
But aren't there like two different kinds of schmoozing?
Yes.
Like there's just bouncing around a party, and then there's like, you know, that guy's hiring and I kind of need a job and you spend a little more time with him.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yep.
I think he generally schmoozed a long time, and I don't actually, is schmoozing even the right word? I think he likes to make people like him. He likes to be a giver. He likes, you know, is that, I guess that's schmoozing.
It's funny to think of like Stacey James sending all these voters like copies of the Dynasty and they're using it for like a doorstop
or
like there's a famous thing like in hip hop where like I bought your CD and now I'm breaking up weed on it. Like they're using the Dynasty book for just like a bunch of outrageous things.
Jadakiss said that. Yeah.
But that's when it crossed over into targeted schmoozing.
Yes.
It wasn't just sort of generic schmoozing. Also,
I just picture Stacey James like outside of like a bathroom stall. Waiting for a guy to get
somebody,
and he's just standing there like, hey, wait, can I help you with it? Can I get your paper towel to wash your hands maybe or something?
And like, then he got confused. He's at the wrong stall, and like you walk out, and he's like, wait, I don't want to talk to you.
Hey,
you don't have a vote.
Move on.
Hell out of here, Arkand.
Yeah. It's like cornering people and like a porta potty. Like, hey, do you remember Robert Kraft? Yeah, right, owner of the team. Yeah, you should put him in the Hall of Fame.
You think he has the books like in the jacket? He opens it up. Hey, can I get you a book?
maybe something like that.
Slowly
big
slides out from under the bed as they're sleeping. Hello.
Have you considered Robert Kraft for the Hall of Fame?
Have you considered Robert Kraft?
Maybe that's what they need to do. Just like brainwash, play Robert Kraft a million times over in their heads.
Yeah.
See, Stacey,
there's subliminally
an idea.
Going there. Yeah.
Something
like
that. Then like they can't even help it. They're like, who are you voting for? Robert Kraft.
Yeah. Like the Manchurian candidate.
Yes.
Yeah, that could work.
Stacey, it's an idea.
You've tried everything else. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls. And the Boston Bruins came away with a big win in the first game of the Joe Sacco era last night. We'll get to that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And here's what's trending this hour on WEEI and WEEI.com. Bruins can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief after they beat the Utah Hockey Club 1-0 at the Garden last night in what was newly hired head coach Joe Sacco's debut game. The Joe Sacco era is here. Korpisalo had a shutout game. He blocked all 21 of Utah's shots on net. Bruins will be in Detroit tomorrow to take on the Red Wings. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Little Caesars Arena. The Celtics stuck around D.C. after they visited the White House yesterday. They'll take on the 2-11 Wizards tonight. Tip-off from the Capital One Arena at 7 p.m. Tonight's game is a group stage game for the NBA Cup. Celtics have a healthy squad except for Kristaps Porzingis. And he's been participating in some scrimmage games up in Maine. Patriots, they're back on the practice field today as they continue to get ready to face the Dolphins on Sunday afternoon, kickoff from Miami at 1 p.m. There were two DMPs during yesterday's practice. Those names were Dietrich Twise and Jacqueline Roy. Christian Barmore was a full participant. Seven other players were limited. In other Patriots news, Robert Kraft passed over once again by Hall of Fame's contributor committee in favor of NFL co-founder Ralph Hay. Kraft will have to wait at least another year to reach the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And the BC Eagles will host UNC tomorrow afternoon, kickoff from Alumni Stadium at noon. And you can catch the call of that game right here on WEEI-FM. Trending brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons with Arkan and Hart coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bruins score a 1-0 win over the Utah Hockey Club last night. It's Christian Arkins, Andy Hartz, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here as we get closer and closer to the 5 o'clock hour. I'm excited to hear what Stiz has for us and behind the glass today. That should be a lot of fun. We also have our picks that we're going to make at 5:30. And we have odds and ends, of course. We do have a little bit on the Celtics. Wick spoke recently about the sale of the team. We'll have some stuff on that just in a few minutes here. But right now, I think that of all the stuff going on here with the Bruins, a win's a win, and it's good that they won. But the main takeaway I have from that game last night is Korpisalo needs to be the main goalie and Jeremy Swayman needs to be his sidekick for at least the time being. I don't know if that's going to change. I hope it does, because I do think generally that Jeremy Swayman's a much better goaltender than Korpisalo is. Korpisalo is not very good, even though he's been better than Swayman. Like, you look at his numbers, he has like a .274 goals against going into last night. I'm not sure what it's at now. His save percentage was like 33rd in the league. .274 for goals against was like 29th. So he's a bottom of the league caliber goalie so far. But that's better than Swayman, who's below like some of the backups now. I mean, he's completely played himself out of that starting role. And I think that that should be the case for a little while. And I'm a big, big-time Jeremy Swayman fan. And I was all about paying him and all about him, you know, being the guy and sticking with him. And historically, I thought they should have done this a lot sooner. And I'm not just talking about the deal and the, you know, $8.25 million. I'm talking about back when Tuukka was here and the whole thing going on with Linus Ullmark. I thought they waited way too long to hand the keys over to Swayman. Now it looks like that may have been a mistake. So right now, it's Korpisalo's net. Swayman can spell him every couple games until that starts to go south, or until Swayman starts playing like his old self, because I do think that he's clearly the more talented player. Is he the best player? PK Subban says he's the best player on the team. I don't know about that, but I do think he's the better goalie by a lot, and he just needs to start playing like it. And until he does, you can sit there and watch.
Yeah, I... There's definitely something going on with Swayman, and I don't know what to make of it in terms of the struggles coming off the absence, coming off the contract, the thing that we read yesterday with Fluto saying, you know, if he doesn't turn around, he's going to lose the rest of his friends or whatever in the locker room, in the dressing room. So there's a lot there. And, you know, the end goal is to have Jeremy Swayman as your number one goalie. I think everybody would agree on that. That's why you pay him. But the first step last night was a shutout victory for Korpisalo. And, you know, looking at his numbers, .238 goals against after last night, .911 save percentage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what if he's the better goalie? Like, how does that play out?
He's the better goalie? I mean, forever, like going forward? Like, no, he's actually the better guy, like, or just for this season?
Kind of this season, but an extended period, it becomes, oh. Yeah, he's kind of the better goalie right now.
Yeah, I mean, then you're in a predicament.
A little bit.
Is what that means, because you're stuck with Swayman now for however long, for 8 years.
Yeah.
And you're paying him a good amount. I mean, I know that number is not going to seem so high in like two or three
seasons. It'll shrink, absolutely.
It'll shrink, and you'll look at it and say, okay, it's not the end of the world. But if Korpisalo is really the better guy, it's going to take a while before anybody's going to want to even entertain the idea of trading for Jeremy Swayman. You know, even a bad team. If this was coming into the season and you wanted to trade him, which you couldn't because he was up, but if you wanted to, there would probably have been a lot of interest. Even if you signed him and then did like a sign and trade right then, but you wouldn't have done that because you thought Swayman was going to be your guy. You thought he was going to be a top goalie in the league. I certainly did. And now he's bottom of the barrel. I mean, he sucks.
Yeah, but I'm
so
not going to
no
say...
So there's no value for him right now.
You can't say he can't play after whatever. You know, they played.
No, but he's
20...
off to a terrible start. And that goes beyond the whole, well, he didn't play in the spring. It's we're months into the season now. We've played a quarter of the season. I don't buy that as an excuse
But
anymore.
I actually don't really... I care less about his performance right now than I do about his relationship with the team. And
I agree with you.
It could be as much as, I always say we're sports simpletons. When you're good, we kind of overlook your warts or your problems. And mm-hmm. then when you suck, we say, hey, you got a wart. And it's like, yeah, the wart's been there the whole time. You just didn't care when I was good. You know, is he a guy? I don't know. And he's definitely a goalie. Like, I'll just describe him as that. He's definitely a goalie from what I've seen from afar. But his teammates, are they just pissed that he sort of talked the talk and now isn't walking the walk? You know, the simple, okay, you know, players tend to side with other players and money. Regardless.
I agree. And I think anybody who feels that way on this roster needs to check themselves, because look in the mirror first.
Correct.
You know, it's not like Swayman's let all of them down and they haven't let him down. How many times did he have to go out there in the middle of five power plays in a row?
Right.
Shorthanded, having to deal with like a breakaway or whatever. I mean, it's just he's not been good. But they have done him no favors. So if any of them are saying, well, you're really screwing it up for us, Jeremy, now that you've gotten your money. Yeah, he hasn't played well, but you have no leg to stand on when it comes to that.
But if there is some sort of a divide there, it's just throw it on the pile, right, to the things that Sacco and the staff has to fix, right? Mm-hmm. That's something you have to – or goalie Bob. Goalie Bob may have to be an intermediary in something in that area, but – to me, that's as concerning as your penalty kill and your power play. Like, if your goalie and the team don't really get along and you just sign him to an 8-year deal for $8.25 million, that's probably problem number one on the to-do list. Figure that out.
I would agree with that. Did last night's game reassure you of anything with this team?
That they're not as good as people thought they were.
Well, sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
not in like a positive way, but
you
didn't
get some bump, right?
You
didn't play a great team. And you just hired a new coach. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity there for whatever fresh start. If you didn't like Monty, now I don't think there are a lot of people that didn't like him. Based on all the comments we've heard, the ones that we could kind of work our way through, they feel bad. They feel like they let him down.
Absolutely.
So, but it was still an opportunity for a fresh start or to prove a point or to do something. And you go 1 of 7 on the power play. You win 1-0. Korpisalo was good, but I don't know how many areas of the team you felt like got this big boost.
I put that game on, and they didn't have a shot on that for the first 5 minutes of the game.
Is that like shot out of a cannon with a new coach?
I said, oh, no. Oh, God. Monty was the one thing keeping this thing afloat.
Right.
They can't even get a shot on that. And then in fairness, the rest of the 15 minutes of the period, they were basically in Utah's zone the entire time. But they didn't score. They had a lot of opportunities. They put like 15 shots on net, I think, after that, after zero for the first 5 minutes, and they still couldn't bury one. So I went from, oh, my God, this is awful, to, okay, they're really trying to – these guys cannot get out of their own way. I mean, they can't put the
puck in
the net.
They're not that good.
Yeah, they're just not.
And that's the – until they prove otherwise, to me, that's their label. They're not that good. They're not that good a hockey team, and it doesn't really matter who's coaching them. You know, if you get a win, if you get an overtime win or whatever – string some together, string a few games together where I say, oh, okay, that was a get right week. You've lost. I don't even feel like a get right game is going to sway me. I need a get right week.
Yeah.
I need a get right week, probably 3 games.
I need like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, know? 2 weeks. You're a little more greedy than I am.
I'd like to see him win like 4 or 5 games in a row before I start believing that anything's changed
and,
here.
And maybe, you know, 3 of those are Korpisalo, 2 of them are Swayman. You get both goalies involved, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, this is kind of what we thought we were supposed to be from the start. But until they do that, no. I think the overwhelming story is they're not that good.
You know who my favorite player last night was? Kastelic.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got jumped at the end of his shift by a guy coming off the bench, which should have been an instigator penalty, by the way, and I can't believe that it wasn't. And he kind of, you know, he was unprepared to scrap right then with Bertuzzo. And then later on in the game, there was a hit right around the circle, and he just got gloves are off, and he decked a guy. And I was like, yeah, get him. Maybe this will be the spark that this team needs. It wasn't, but at the very least, you can say this guy came to play this year. He's one of the only ones, really. I mean, in terms of players on this team playing to or above their potential, he's the only one I can think of on the entire roster.
Yep.
Can you name one other guy that you can say that about? Maybe Korpisalo
is who I was
but he's
say.
Not been good. I mean, you know, like his numbers
but
are not
above expectations.
I guess
worst goalie in hockey, wasn't he last
year?
Yeah,
and he's down.
So he's not the worst goalie in hockey right
no,
now.
No, he's like
he's not even the worst on his team.
He's like the 29th in the in terms of starters, yeah, but I guess not, he's not even a starter. So
not
yeah,
even the worst on his team.
So Korpisalo, who's not doing much, and Mark Castell. That's it. That's really it. There's nobody else that you can even point to.
Oh, let me real quick one more opportunity. There was a little bit of a Lindholm. Remember when Steve Young did the whole monkey off his back when he won the Super Bowl because the Joe Montana poke?
Yeah.
Lindholm,
him scoring,
kind of got the weight of the world off his shoulders. It felt like. Now I don't know if that leads to anything. I'll put him in the same category of his team until he does it for 2 weeks straight, and I go, oh, now I see why they gave him $7 million a year. But maybe there's a little bit of a hopeful opportunity there for him.
I would hope so. It wasn't like the most clean, sexy goal in the world.
Okay,
I
beggars
mean, it was
can't
a,
be choosers.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it'd be one thing if he came down and just, wrapped a slap shot in from the point or something. But this was, it was a nice play. Pasternak had this great pass down to Marchand, who was in front, and Lindholm was right there next to him, and it kind of bounced off Marchand's stick right to him, and he just buried it. Right. And that was, you know, listen, it was the only goal of the game, so
it's a start.
You can't really complain about it, but it wasn't, you know, it was sort of like a right place, right time type of thing, which the Bruins have not been in the right place or the right time for most of the year. So, yeah, it's a start, and it's something. So there you go. 617-779-7937. Let's go down to the great city of New Bedford, talk to Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Hey.
Hey.
Like your show.
Thanks.
First time calling in. Looking at the Bruins, do you think they traded the wrong goalie? The other one was signed already, in place. You knew what money he was getting and everything, and you could have just been good to go from the start.
Maybe, but he hasn't been playing well either.
That's a common theme. Text line. Arcan wrong again. Swayman should have been traded.
You know, in retrospect, sure. But I don't think a lot of people were. No one trusted Linus Allmark. No one. When you get to the playoffs, did you trust Linus Allmark to be there for you and to win a series for you, or to even be healthy enough to actually play in the series? I didn't. I was ready to move on from Allmark, and a lot of other people were too. So you can say now in hindsight, oh yeah, they traded the wrong guy. But no one was saying that at the time. Not anyone was saying that at the time. Even during his Vezina season, no one was saying that. So I don't buy that. Maybe in retrospect, you look back at it now and say, oh, you know, he's cheaper, he's older, which is why he was cheaper. But he ended up getting the same money as Swayman anyway.
Correct.
So it's just fewer years. So really, I mean, what did you save? And I think that if you look at, he's on a bad team, but he's not playing well.
Right.
He's better than Swayman right now, but he's not playing well. You're not missing out on some great goalie. I don't know. We'll see.
Plus,
there's still a lot of hockey to play.
The long-term solution to all these problems is for Swayman to be who people think he is and
right.
He's supposed to be. A number one franchise goalie.
Yep.
You paid him like that. You hope. I mean, there's been talk of that for, we're going back like 3 years now. Like, he was the budding star. He was the next big thing. And then Allmark kind of got in the way there.
Yep.
And then Tuukka came back for that weird little thing, and he kind of got in the way there. Like, there's, now you can't let things get in the way anymore. You can't let Korpisalo be the best goalie on the team.
No.
You just can't. Otherwise, you aren't who you're supposed to be, Swayman. And you aren't who you think you are in your own head. I'll go back to that. Because I've never really thought he was who he thinks he is in his own head, but he's better than this. Should be closer to what he is in his own head than what he is on his stat sheet right now.
I agree, and I thought he was going to develop more into that this year. You know, getting more extra reps after having a great playoff run and a good regular season. I mean, he was very good in the season, and he was excellent in the playoffs. And I thought this was just going to be the next natural step for him. And instead, it has gotten off to about as bad of a start as you could possibly imagine. 617-779-7937. Wick Grosbeck spoke to the media about the sale of the Celtics. Tim Bontomps had some things to write about it. And there's a new article in Bloomberg that may shed some light on some of these bidders. We'll get to all of that next. It's Wick Grosbeck talking with the Greg Hill Show. How long ago was that, Stiz? That was after the season, obviously. You're talking about Banner 18. And it being the start of something great.
Yeah, that was the October 22nd.
Okay, so it was pretty recent. The sale is an ongoing process. The bidding has begun. Wick did speak on this a little bit. Yesterday, he doubled down on his intention to continue as the governor of the Celtics through 2028. And when asked about the sale, he said it's underway. There's a lot of interest. This was on a conference call with reporters after the White House ceremony on the South Lawn there. He said, one comment I guess I would like to limit it to that I would say the plan is that I will stay in charge for 3 more years. That's what's laid out, and we'll go from there. Having said that, I think I'd rather talk about this team we have in front of us right now that has the capacity to contend again. I think we're contenders this year, and we can be contenders in the future, and that's what I'm most excited about. We know, Wick. We know that's what you've put together here. We know that that's what's prompted the sale, the fact that you're facing a $500 million tax bill for this roster. And Tim Bontomp wrote about it. He said, in December of 2023, Mark Cuban said something similar. After selling his controlling stake to the Mavericks, Cuban insisted that he, and not new owner Patrick Dumont, would be running basketball operations. Not surprisingly, after paying a valuation of more than $4 billion for the controlling stake in the franchise, it was Dumont who was accepting the Western Conference Championship trophy when Dallas went back to the NBA Finals this spring. The Dallas situation is instructive to consider what could happen with the Celtics over the next several months and beyond. Teams around the league are closely monitoring the Boston situation, and for obvious reasons. The Celtics are favorites to repeat as champions and are set to make history by exceeding $500 million in combined payroll and luxury taxes in the 25-26 season. With the expectation among sources that the Celtics will fetch more than the Mavericks did, expect whoever is buying the team to have a huge say in that decision. As for Grossbeck's plan, we'll see. Then there's this. Bloomberg has an article out right now about the Celtics and their sale. And according to Bloomberg, when the Celtics played a preseason game in Abu Dhabi in October, remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that Abu Dhabi game? Wick Grossbeck met with one of the United Arab Emirates sovereign wealth funds about a possible deal. According to NBA rules, sovereign wealth funds can only own 20% of a team. The Grossbecks own a 31% stake in the Celtics. Irv Grossbeck owns 20% of the team. Could the United Arab Emirates buy him out? And I'm reading now from the Twitter feed of Cameron Tabatabai. And I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing
well
that
done.
Wrong. He writes for Celtics Wire, and he says, could UAE technically buy out Irv and let Wick maintain the majority position of the club? Rich Gotham wants to stitch together an ownership group. An injection of cash from abroad could be enough to swing the deal. Bloomberg's report said that while the UAE is already engaged with the NBA and a major league sponsor, NBA Cup, for example, they wouldn't want a minority stake in a team. They have existing ties in the NBA as well as European soccer. Qatar owns 5% of the Wizards. And Saudi Arabia right now has the LIV Golf and all that other stuff. So there aren't that many American billionaire, you know, there just aren't that right. many who are there who can buy the Celtics all by themselves. There's Jeff Bezos. There's a couple. There's Elon Musk. You know, there's a couple of guys out there who could do it if they wanted to. But in international settings, there's a lot of money floating around and a lot of people who want in on American sports, especially the NBA. The NBA has, I would say right now, outside of soccer, the most international appeal out of any sport in the world. I mean, the NBA and basketball in general is, in the last 20 years, has completely just lapped almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in America, they're still behind the NFL, but they're a close second. And worldwide, I mean, they blow the NFL out of the water. So I do think that there is going to be, if you had thoughts about Pagliuca and, you know, some of these other guys, it's probably much more likely that you're going to see one of these sovereign wealth funds get involved here.
And that's also the most likely path to Wick being able to control it. Because the first thing I thought of is, it's great for him to say, well, I'll be in charge for 3 years. Wait, so somebody's going to spend, I don't know, the total sale is going to be north of $6 billion and just let somebody else run it? That's like buying like a mansion and letting somebody sleep in it for the next 3 years.
Right.
Like, and Wick might be able to write that into the deal. I'm not... But wouldn't his father have some say there, too, where he wants the money?
Right.
And if it's costing them bidders or it's costing them opportunities because some people don't want to adhere to that sort of a situation where he gets 3 more years running it, I don't really think it's Wick's say. The most likely form would be something like this, because I don't think whatever the Arab, what is it, fund?
UAE, the United Arab Emirates Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yeah. I don't know.
Try to imagine there's a few dollars in there.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think they want to sit on the lottery special as the governor in front of the camera, right? Like, I don't think they're in it for the money. They're in it for other ulterior motives, if you want to believe some of the sports washing ideas and different things that go on. I don't think they actually want to be the celebrity owner of the Celtics. But if a celebrity owner wants it, he's going to say, Wick, you're out. You sold. If you want to be the celebrity owner, then you buy the team. And you can sit courtside and you can sit at the governor's board director meeting thing and all those things. So this has been the trend, too. The NFL just voted for this, too, to allow. I forgot the percentage in the NFL, I believe, is lower that they're going to allow from these international wealth funds or whatever to buy into teams. But you're right. They've all realized that there's such a small group of people that can actually buy these teams that you need to expand the pool of owners.
Yeah. The Celtics played preseason games. I'm reading from the Bloomberg article right now. They played preseason games in Abu Dhabi in October as part of the third annual trip to the capital of the UAE. During that trip, Grossbeck met with Mubadala Investment Company, one of the country's sovereign wealth funds, to discuss a potential investment, according to people with knowledge. While Mubadala has yet to decide whether to invest, Bloomberg reported last year that its executives are interested in NBA ownership. However, major Middle East investors are unwilling to take passive stakes in teams at steep valuations that don't offer a say on management. According to people familiar with the matter, sovereign wealth funds can own as much as 20% of an NBA franchise. Pro team owners are increasingly turning to Gulf sovereign wealth funds. With valuations soaring, they're some of the only investors with deep enough pockets to buy these stakes. The Celtics, currently valued at $5.1 billion by Sportico, might need them more than most because it could be a tough sell. With the on-court success, they're still expected to lose money with the high payroll, and the franchise also doesn't own their arena, which is an increasingly important revenue stream for these investors. So, Mubadala and the Celtics both declined to comment on this. The team did visit the White House on Thursday. Joe Biden celebrated with them. Grosbeck said afterwards, there's a lot of interest in the team. It sounds like it.
Yeah, but it's complicated interest.
It's complicated interest.
So, if I heard you right there, these funds do want to have managing control of a team.
Yep.
But they can only control 20%.
Right.
So therefore, every other owner can only be 19% or less.
Yeah.
Is that how I read that?
I guess.
Am I running the numbers in my head properly?
I think that's right, yeah.
So you need a 20% of $6 billion, one-fifth of, so a little, they're going to own $1.2 billion worth, and then they're going to need like five other owners that are worth $1 billion each?
Yeah.
That's a lot of billionaires that you're collecting.
It really is.
Or a lot of less sovereign than wealth billionaires.
Funds. Or, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, peace. But even the sovereign wealth funds, I think they're all going to want their 20%.
Yep.
So there can only really be one sovereign wealth fund and then a bunch below the 20% threshold so they can be the man. Sounds complicated.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is going to go all that quickly.
Seems
like a lot
not.
Of lawyers will be involved and stuff, too.
And I doubt they're going to be like, yeah, Wick, why don't you stay on and be the main right. guy in front? You know, like they kicked the Dallas kicked Mark Cuban to the curb. They'll do the same thing with Wick, I'd imagine. But we'll see. We'll see
Maybe
how
it'll
this
drag
all
on long enough. He can get one more banner, get 19, one more ring ceremony, and then they'll kick him out.
One more parade.
Yeah.
One more
duck boat.
More cigars.
A couple more trips
stuff.
To the Greg Hill show.
Yeah, but if you got 19, you need 20.
You do need 20.
Can't stop at 19.
Now we're getting greedy.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, I agree with Stiz. And also, by the way, the city of Boston, Celtics fans everywhere, owe Wick Grosbeck a tremendous debt of gratitude for spending his father's money in this way. Because
yes.
There's no way. I mean, obviously, you're losing money. This is all fan service. This is all to make the fans happy. That's 100% what Wick Grosbeck is doing this for. It's not to make money. They're not making money. They're losing money on this. And now they're trying to sell off. And I think Wick would have just gone ahead and kept on losing money if it was up to him. But it's not. And Irv decided to sell. And
Irv's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
But
$500 million? Is that what you said?
Props to Wick Grosbeck. Really, I mean, this was a move that was done in service to the fan base that has supported this team all this time that he owned it, and what a gift! I mean, really, it's a gift to them.
Great fan and questionable businessman.
Yep, certainly.
and we benefit.